Today's show is about Paul. I was doing some studying this morning. I came across 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. And we always talk about this secret, unspoken issue that Paul is having with himself. As I've read it over and over again, I've tried to guess what it is, and sometimes I project my own issues in the flesh. When he says he had this thorn in his flesh, I can start a little earlier than the verse, but it says, because of extraordinary greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in difficulties, in behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. And I gotta tell you, the Apostle Paul is an 8 on the Enneagram. If you don't know what that is, you can go to truity.com and take the test for yourself and let me know what you come up with. The fact of the matter is that Paul is a doer. If you were to look at the outline of what a type 8 is, they're self-confident, they're strong, they're assertive. And if you've read any of his stories, when he was doing the wrong thing for the right reason, when he was persecuting Christians, he was doing it in the name of God, and he was doing it with force, with self-confidence, with strength, with assertiveness. Along with that comes protective, resourceful, straight-talking, decisive, but can also be egocentric and domineering. They feel that they must control their environment, especially people, sometimes becoming confrontational and intimidating. They typically have problems with their tempers and allowing themselves to be vulnerable. So what we see here with Paul is he's dealing with some vulnerability. And in a type 8, their basic fear is of being harmed or controlled by others. Their basic desire is to protect themselves or to be in control of their own lives and destinies. Their key motivations is they want to be self-reliant to prove their strength and resist weakness. What's Paul talking about right now? He's talking about what Christ says to him directly, speaks directly to his personality type. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. This is a message to those of you who are 8s, those of you in the protective, self-confident, strong, assertive, resourceful, straight-talking, and decisive triad. Christ has a message for you today. It's hard to see him struggle in that, as the 8 is all about the doing. He's come up against this wall where his doing is causing him grief because he's not able to be all that he knows himself to be, to do all that he typically does. And some people will speculate and say maybe it was his sight. You know, remember when he fell off of the horse when Christ paid him a visit and he got scales over his eyes? And after that prayer, the scales fell off and he could see. But some say that his sight never was fully restored, but it could be anything. I mean, the guy was in prison. He suffered whippings. He has been in dark places. I mean, he's dealt with a lot of things. And so now he's doing the right thing. He's doing what each and every one of us should do, no matter what personality type that we are. We should take our feelings and emotions to God and wrestle with him there. And that's what he's doing. He's pleading with the Lord 3 times, actually, 3 different occasions. And God simply says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. What's your weakness, brother or sister? And what is grace? Usually, grace in religious background is more time. It's more opportunity, another chance. It's what we know the gospel to rest inside of. And sometimes we worry about grace because we know we don't deserve it. Sometimes we fear it'll run out. And it's just a cycle of the Christian life. But it's not one that we need to remain in. Just like personality types, Paul as an 8 has a very predictable pattern that his personality type goes with. But look at what happens when a personality type meets with the power of God. It's then that we're no longer self-sufficient. And a lot of these personality types operating under their own power is usually self-driven, because in dominant personality characteristics, it's usually the thing that we're fighting or seeking to be or to experience. It's the very thing that is killing us and destroying us. So for example, I'm a type 9 on the Enneagram wing 8, meaning that I am a peacemaker, a peacekeeper. Notice I said peacemaker, peacekeeper. A peacemaker operating under the spirit of Jesus Christ, I am about bringing people together, about unity. But when I'm a peacekeeper, that's when I'm operating under my own power. And the very thing that I seek for, which is peace, I'm using it the wrong way. I'm using it to get peace the wrong way. It's kind of like Robin Hood or something. What I'm doing is I'm going out there, I'm trying not to stir the waters, not make too big of an imprint, not be too loud to cause attention to shift my way, not to let even my presence or my words disturb the lives of other people. And so in Paul here, we see that the reason why he was so successful as an eight, Paul, on the other hand, was far more effective because of his words in the second half of verse 9. He says, most gladly, therefore, rather than boasting about how he does it or relying and leaning on the pride that gets people where they want to go, he says he boasts about his weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in him. Paul has the power of Christ dwelling in him as a personality type that is super powerful. If you're the type 8, you are a powerful human being and you command attention. You command influence and you move volume, but under your own strength. It's something that works effectively on the outside, but it doesn't change the heart of yourself or the others. It made me think of myself. And operating in Christ, I'm all about bringing people together, very relational, and seeking to unify, to close the gap. And there's so much division that we're living in today with in social justice, in race, and with controversial issues that have come up with the pandemic and a lot of the LGBTQ community and the very young people that I work with that are born in this paradigm and are seeking something and needing to know, needing to be pointed to the one who completes us, and that is Jesus Christ. So I realize that my fear, if I was Paul in this verse where I say, my grace, God's grace is sufficient for me, grace for me in this case. For Paul, grace, what grace looks like for him is in the midst of his doing, even though he doesn't have the power and whatever it is that's tormenting him or inhibiting him from expressing or being all that he knows himself to be, that in weakness. I'm reading this book called Boundaries. It's on Audible. It's awesome. And as I'm developing more healthy boundaries, I'm starting to have emotions. We suppress anger. We're angry people. We don't even know it because we fall asleep to our anger. And I'm starting to feel emotions more. And they alarm me. They scare me because I'm not used to actually feeling them in my frontal cortex. I'm feeling the feelings of anger. I'm feeling the feelings of sadness, of desire, of love, of emotion. And sometimes I worry that that's going to be too much because I don't think people are ready for that, because people are typically suppress their feelings. I do it when it comes to anger and I suppress it and ignore it. And so I figure all emotion needs to be treated that way, and that's what I do. And so as of lately, I sat this morning and I was just going through my feelings and I started to shove them down because I was afraid. I was like, these are out of control. I'm not supposed to have feelings. Some of them were noble. Some of them were kind. Some of them were evil. Some of them were twisted and unhealthy. And I was like, and when you have feelings and thoughts, you get scared. You're like, oh, well, that's not right. That's not the way I should be. Then I thought of this word grace. I thought of the grace of God, and I thought about how far reaching it is. Because grace is not only more time or another chance. It's actually the opportunity to grow. But it's not just growing by your own power. It's you submitting to the one who can change you and making mistakes and getting back up and claiming that grace. So that's my challenge for you, is to Get into the presence of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring to your frontal cortex the areas that you feel like Paul, when you feel like there's something that's not sufficient, there's not enough, because those things threaten us to live in scarcity. And that's not how we were called to live as sons and daughters of God. Yes, our context all around us is crumbling because of scarcity, but the mindset and the heart set and the Father who has riches of his glory, our daddy got the keys. He's wealthy, and we know that he provides for us and he never runs out. And so living in that mindset is hard to get to when we're convinced of the scarcity of a present circumstance. So sit in his presence. Let the Holy Spirit perhaps sit with someone you trust. That's especially nice, because then you start to confess. And I believe that's the Spirit of truth brings that out of you. And then you have the choice to submit that to God and give that to him and to rest in that moment of conviction, because then the Holy Spirit says, yes, you have a need. There's something missing, but guess what? I've got what you need. So what do you have that is not sufficient? Is it not enough time? Is it not enough energy? Is it not enough power? Is it not enough knowledge? Is it not enough know-how? Is it not enough to do? Too much to do? I don't know what that looks like. Not enough safety and security. Whatever it looks like for you, friend. Sit in this thing like Paul and claim. Claim what God is offering you. His strength is made perfect in weakness, because it's whose strength and whose power? None other than Jesus Christ. Alfred DeCosta, your host of the L4H podcast. And before I go, I'm going to say one more thing to you. There are, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, those of you, there's like 20 of you. Some of you, I think maybe 4 or 5 of you are visitors. But there's a handful of you guys that I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you listen in every time, because this is such a mixed bag. I just want to not only say thank you, but I'm going to ask you to do something. They have a new model on this podcast that allows you to have subscriptions, right? And people will subscribe for a dollar amount. But I really, my heart is for you guys who have been my people, and I haven't even seen you. So I'm asking you to subscribe for a dollar or two. And in that, you'll have some content that is more curated, more edited. It'll have more personal and even interviews, or sometimes I record on my watch, just audio around me. And we can explore this thing about the body of Christ and how it works through different personalities. And I'm curious to know what your personality is. And to be honest, I'll probably just use the money to save up to give you a free test to know what your personality is. So really, it would be all of you putting in a pot monthly, and I'll take that money. And for each of you, I'll pay the $19 on Truity, because on Truity, it gives you a free test. But then if you want more information, it's like 19 bucks. And there's like 20 of you guys. So each month, I'll do that for you. But I'd like you to get to know who you are better. And I'd like to work with you, even in your own community. Maybe you're not here in Wichita, Kansas, which I doubt you are. I bet you're like in Africa or something, listening to my podcast. For some reason, I still don't understand. But I feel, as a 9, I want to connect with you. I want to unify with you in this work. We're going home soon, friend. Jesus is coming soon. And I know we've been saying it a while. Listen to your spirit. You know what I'm saying. God is coming soon, and I'm excited. And I want to give you tools that you can use in learning to understand others in your circles and partnering with them, partnering with me, and working together as the body. We just do too much individualistic work. So join in. I'll look forward to hearing from you. I don't know if we should do an email thing, but just stay tuned. Follow me. I look forward to getting to know you better. Take care. God bless. Your host, L4H Podcast, over and out.